No matter how tough it may become, Christian, don't lose hope, amen?
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Castles in the sand, but a relentless tide is flooding in. In this evening's message, Pastor Brian Grant takes on the sobering warning to Timothy found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. For those who may be unaware, Paul warns how unusually difficult times will face the Church of Jesus Christ as the rapture draws near. But Pastor Grant assures, from Scripture, those truly building on the rock need never fear the circumstances. Listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message. Here now is Pastor Grant with God's Counsel for Perilous Times.
Matthew had never flown before and had just taken off for a four-hour flight to Los Angeles. He was worried about the length of the flight. You know, nobody who has flown for the first time really likes a four-hour flight. But he was very worried about the fact that it was going to be a four-hour flight. But he got even more worried when the co-pilot came on the intercom and announced that they had lost the number one engine. And so the flight was going to be 1 hour behind schedule. 5 hours they were going to be up there. Well, not terribly long after that, the co-pilot came on and announced, "I'm sorry to announce we have lost the number two engine." And so now suddenly the flight is going to be 2 hours behind schedule. Well, he said, "Don't worry about it. That's only two engines. We have four. The other two engines are working for perfectly fine. There's nothing to worry about." Except after 20 minutes, another announcement was made. "We have lost the number three engine. And so we are going to be 3 hours behind schedule." Oh, poor Matthew. He was so afraid. He said, although they said it's only 3 hours, he says, "Well, if we lose the fourth engine, we're going to be up here all day." Poor Matthew didn't realize if they lost engine number four, he wouldn't be up there at all. We would come crashing to the ground. But you know, we're living in a very dangerous world. A world where I understand there are some 12,000 nuclear warheads. And from what I gather, if just 400 of the 12,000 nuclear warheads are detonated, it would wipe out humanity. But there are many other things that are causing stress. Some people are so concerned about the drama in America, you've probably noticed it, that some Americans are leaving America and are giving up on the American dream and moving to other countries. I don't know if you're aware of that, but that is actually going on. Although some who claimed that they were going to leave after a few years ago didn't actually leave. Some worry about the worldwide turmoil. And so some, from what I gather, are selling their houses, stockpiling food, buying weapons and ammunition. You're aware this is happening. People are buying weapons and ammunition, and they're moving to remote desert or mountain areas because they're so concerned about what's going on. Some of this may seem extreme, but it's evident that we're living in a turbulent and violent world. And today's text is therefore extremely timely. For I don't know if you paid attention to the very first verse, because here is how 2 Timothy 3, 1 begins. "But know this, that in the last days," what? "Perilous times will come." God is not only warning us, listen, he's letting us know that perilous times are coming. I have a feeling they're actually here, as I heard somebody said. And so in this text, God counsels us on how to prepare for perilous times. This text they hear, and of course some of you know we've been going through 2 Timothy, so it's not that I've picked this text because of what's going on, but we're right here at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this text is letting us know that perilous times are coming, and God seeks to help his church prepare for the perilous times that are ahead. And so today, as we continue this series on 2 Timothy, I'm using as my theme, God's counsel for perilous times. And in case you're not familiar with the word perilous means very dangerous. Very dangerous times are ahead. Here's the first thing I'd like you to add to your notes, the certainty of perilous times ahead. If you're a visitor, just know there is a note sheet in the bulletin that you can follow along. First point here, the certainty of perilous times. Verse 1 says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. The Bible indicates that prior to the rapture, stay with me now, prior to the rapture, and I'll explain what the rapture is in a moment for those who may not know, but prior to the rapture, the church is going to experience perilous times. I say this again because I think many Christians misunderstand this text and they believe it is speaking about something that happens during the tribulation, but this text is not speaking about the tribulation. It's speaking about pre-rapture events, and it tells us that in the last day, perilous times will come. This verse is often overlooked, for some preachers make us believe that, hey, once you come to Christ, you can get ready for the good times to roll. You listen to preaching like that. You hear it all the while. Once you come to Jesus, the good times are going to get rolling. Not necessarily so. God is telling us that the church is going to go through some tough times. In this text, God made it clear that before the rapture, the church will experience perilous times. Now, these events, as I said, are not going to happen during the tribulation, but it's pre-tribulation events. Put this in your notes. 2 Timothy 3 was written to prepare the church for perilous times it will face before the rapture. This happens prior to the tribulation. Listen, for the rapture occurs before the tribulation. At the rapture, the church will be transported to heaven by the Lord himself. I want to make this very, very clear. As you read the text, it's evident that the church is still here for these events. Am I right about that? And if the church is still here, it means the rapture has not come. Am I right about that? Because once the rapture comes, the church is gone. So all those of us who sometimes look at this text as referring to the tribulation, you need to rethink it because the church is here. This church is written, this chapter is written to prepare us for perilous times. So it is written to help to prepare us for what is about to take place or what has already started taking place. Amen? The last days mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, refer to the last days. Put this on the notes. The last days mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, refer to the last days of the church on earth before the Lord appears to rapture the church. Amen? The last days mentioned in 2 Timothy 3, 1, refer to the last days of the church on earth before the Lord appears to rapture the church. And to make it clear, add this to your notes. The rapture refers to the Lord's return for his bride, the church. The rapture is talking about when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes all born-again believers, takes them with him to heaven. Amen? And hey, Let's look at a scripture. Some of us know the scripture very well, but I want to read it for those who have never seen this before. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want to read here from verse 13 through verse 18. And here's how it reads, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I do not want you to be ignorant, the Lord says, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Those who have fallen asleep are people who were born again Christians and died. The Bible calls them asleep because it ain't over for them. Amen. Right now they are in bliss in the presence of the Lord, but they do not have a body. Sometimes you go to funerals and you hear people speaking about the departed who was a believer and make it seem like right now they're walking the streets of heaven. That ain't so, because right now we all, every Christian will walk the streets of gold the same time. When a believer dies, they go to be with the Lord, but their body, I've done a lot of funerals, too many to be honest, but the body, usually I can see the body, it's right here. It didn't go anywhere. Their spirits and their souls went to be with the Lord and are at bliss in heaven with Jesus. But so here the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, listen, I do want it concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Amen. At the rapture, the Bible is telling us that every Christian who is asleep in Jesus will come with Jesus when he comes back for his church. Amen. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Those of us who are alive ain't going nowhere before the other Christians who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For the Lord himself, verse 16, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Those who are asleep in Jesus will get their bodies first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Amen. We're all going to be caught up at the same time. Those asleep and those alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. This whole event here in 1 Thessalonians 4 is what we call the rapture. Amen. This is the rapture. And the rapture refers to the Lord's return for his bride, the church. But before, we believe that one of these days, very, very, very soon, soon and very soon, we're what? We're going to see the King, amen? Soon and very soon, we're going. What a hope we have in Jesus. Let me ask you, young man, young lady, do you know Jesus, older person? Do you know Jesus? Is he your Savior? Do you have this hope that you will be with him in heaven? I wonder how world leaders are going to explain when we all disappear. You ever sat and wondered? Because they have to come up with a reason why. I wonder sometimes if this is why the whole alien invasion thing has become so much a thing that's talked about. And I imagine that will give a very good reason why so many people disappeared, that aliens have come and have taken a whole lot of us captive. But hallelujah, they can say that an alien came and took me. But I know it won't. No alien is coming for me, amen. I'm waiting for the upper taker, hallelujah. For one day, our Savior and our Lord, he's going to come and he's going to take us to be with himself in heaven, amen. Will you be a part of that number? First, the certainty of perilous times. But second, put this in your notes, the severity of the perilous times ahead. We may already be experiencing perilous times. As you read the text, you can't help but wonder if some of what The text describes are things we are seeing right now. But it may not be. And for sure, perhaps much worse is coming. You know, I wonder how Timothy felt when he got this letter warning about perilous times. Just think of it now. You may not remember the context. Earlier on in this series, I shared with you how bad things were at this very moment in history. Some of you might remember how bad things were. Because you remember, at that time, there was an incredible, Nero was executing an incredible persecution against Christians. And you remember, one-third of Rome had burnt down pretty much overnight. Just imagine Rome, the number one power in the world, their imperial capital, had been destroyed overnight. And they've tried to find a scapegoat, and they blamed it on the Christian church. And therefore, all-out persecution broke out against the church. You remember I shared with you how Christians were being taken alive and thrown into den with wild animals in the Colosseum. This was just as a sport. Listen, we have been to the Colosseum and they told us the history. This is not some make-believe thing. This is actually what happened. Christians were thrown into the Colosseum and people were there just excited and enjoying themselves as these wild beasts tore their Christian neighbors apart and killed them. Christians were being lit. They were soaked with kerosene or whatever it is, and their bodies were put ablaze, and they were used as human torches to light the streets of Rome. That was the type of persecution that was going on. Christians were being crucified. You remember even the Apostle Peter was crucified. Tradition says he was crucified upside down. Christians were being killed left, right, and center. This is what was going on at the time. And so here Timothy knows all this is going on, and now he gets a letter from Paul saying, perilous times are coming. Can you imagine that? Timothy, say what? Paul, what do you think this is? Paul was alerting him to the fact that the perilous times that are coming are super bad. I can't even find a word to describe it. I'll just say it's super bad. The severity of the perilous times ahead. My brother and sister, hold on to Jesus. Listen, we're not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to share with you what's in the text. And God says, what? Perilous times are coming. But I'm not a message of doom and gloom. So what is the silver lining? Verse 10. 2 Timothy 3:10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. Paul is listing some of the places he was tortured and persecuted. And he says, listen, I love verse 11, how it ends. Help me with that. How does that, the last phrase says, and out of them all what? The Lord delivered me, amen. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me, amen. Put this in your notes. The God who sustained Paul and filled his heart with joy will sustain us in our hour of trial, amen. No matter how tough it may become, Christian, don't lose hope, amen. Hold on to Jesus, because the God who sustained Paul and filled his heart with joy will sustain us in our hour of trial. Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the king's own army none can overthrow. Round his standard ranging, victory is secure. You remember that song? For his truth, unchanging, makes the triumph sure. By his grand redemption, by his grace divine, we can shout, we are on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. Savior, we are thine. My friends, perilous times are coming, but we need not fear, for Romans 8:37 assures us that what we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Add that to your vocabulary. If you don't know that verse, Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Listen. You can write this. God's amazing grace can sustain us despite the heat of the fire and no matter how perilous times may become. I wonder if somebody would shout amen to that. God's amazing grace can sustain us despite the heat of the fire and no matter how perilous times may become. In 1555, Thomas Hawkes was told that unless he recanted his faith, he would be burned at the stake. But he refused, for his faith was anchored in the Lord. The day before he was to be burnt alive, his friend said to him, Thomas, I hear a lot of people talking about the grace of God. And about God's grace and how God's grace can help. Thomas, could you do me a favor? Tomorrow when you're burning at the stake, if God is able to make the pain tolerable and to keep your mind at peace, would you please lift up one of your hands so I can know that what people are talking about is true? That God's grace is for real. The next day, Thomas Hawkes, he agreed to do it. And the next day, he was bound to the stake and lit on fire. After he was burning for a while, everybody thought, because it looked like he was finished, that he was dead. But suddenly, to everyone's surprise, Thomas Hawkes, his arms start going up, and to everyone's surprise, Thomas Hawkes did not only raise one, he raised both. And here is, I was shocked when I read the story, but Thomas Hawkes didn't only raise two hands. With his hands aflame, Thomas Hawkes started clapping. Three times he clapped with his burning hands above his head. He was thanking God for his grace, for God's grace had sustained him.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.